it ought not, it should not be the case. We really open ourselves up, and I think, as was pointed out, there are many different types of people crossing the border. That there are classes and categories of individuals that need protection. And you're opening up way too much more liability in an already really fraught data security environment when you've got, you know, millions of travelers, all of these sorts of devices being, what, copied and, what, stored with the federal government somewhere. How much in the business, how many in the business and finance and other service industries and communities that rely on business intelligence and their own intellectual property, how much of that stuff is going to be compromised and stored and then maybe, you know, leaked or held captive in a malware campaign by from some negligence by a third party? I mean, we see this stuff over and over and over again. And so I just really am skeptical of the utility of trying to implement this stuff when you're already, like, you know, throwing non-ionizing radiation at people and running them through hell and with passable coffee. I mean, we deserve better as a society, and I just can't stand it. And I think, and on into journalists and activists, people exercising their rights in as a practitioner of it myself, and people that across different fields, I think, really just deserve better from our government, and it should be manifest in people's outcry.
Yeah, and it goes back, Kyle, I think, really, you know, to this Fifth Amendment, right? This issue of it being this kind of Leatherman all-purpose tool against self-incrimination here. And I think there's a real trade-off here, and it's so clear with this case, right? Because it depends on your viewpoint. Because, as you mentioned, you know, there are people that are at real risk of coercion from our government, from other governments, not just ours, not just the United States, you know, traveling over into, who knows, traveling into Iran, traveling into Russia. There are international issues here, and so many people facing coercion, but the very existence and implementation of something like a duress passcode could itself end up, as it is in this case, looking like some kind of legal signal or some kind of indication of intent that the user anticipated some form of conflict with the authorities or some kind of search to occur with respect to their devices. So in a sense, just using it, using the feature, makes you look guilty.
So protecting yourself is considered intent.
That's the problem here. That's the trade-off. It could look like that, and that would be that's a horrible thing to have happen.
Well, that's the road we're going down.
It's the same fallacy that encryption, you know, if you're encrypting, you have something to hide. No, the normalizing of it and the ubiquity of it on websites, on communications, was the norm. We just weren't doing it as a practice.
Yeah,
and look, so on one hand, a feature that can improve confidentiality can also drastically, I think, alter and worsen the optics that are involved with respect to your intent to either destroy your data or to obstruct justice here. It's, you know, it goes back at root to it. Is this a privacy-enhancing feature?
I have a couple of hypotheticals. Let's let Rob speak first, and then sure. I'll get to my fun hypotheticals here.
Yeah, I think in the case of this guy, if instead of giving his duress password to the authorities and having them enter it and having the phone be cleared that way, if instead he made this part of his normal routine to just clear his stuff while he was in the air, while he was traveling, before he got home, and said, "Oh, this is my normal routine," that could possibly be, I believe, a defense against trying to say, "Well, you knew we were going to search you, so you purposely, willfully clear out your stuff." If it's just something you automatically do as part of your data hygiene practices, I think that might be more defensible. Do you think so, Alex?
Yeah, I do. I definitely do. Yeah, I mean, if it's more of like a routine thing, as you're suggesting, like you must have like some kind of policy that you're simply implementing. doing this on a daily or routine basis. Sure.
So my theory is that the data that was actually on there is negligible, that there was nothing on there, and that this was just somebody knowing that they were going to be challenged and messing with them, as they have every right to do, as they should do. And I think, you know, that would still be considered in their eyes a crime for some reason. You're not covering up evidence, but you're wasting their time. But they're wasting their own time by pursuing this in the first place. Now, the hypothetical I want to pose, supposing there was data on that phone, supposing it was a plot, a terrorist plot, supposing you you managed to work with artificial intelligence to shape the plot so that it fits you, you know, it fits your life, your habits, your locations, all that kind of thing. So to anybody reading it, it would seem believable, but it's all fake. And it's all protected behind a password. And these idiots come and demand your password, and you tell them the password, and then they find this whole big fake fiction story. Is that a crime? I mean, you're basically plotting terrorism that's not going to happen. And people have been charged for coming up with harebrained schemes that didn't stand a chance in hell of working. But in this particular case, they literally asked for it. And you followed their rules and provided it to them, and they're not happy with what they're reading. What if you don't explain what's on the phone? What if, you know, you make them waste even more time? There's all kinds of ways this can go.
Yeah, I mean, I would think they would be angry if you had some kind of fictional terrorist plot on your phone that they uncovered. It probably wouldn't be the best way to ensure you're treated well at the border or for the next several years.
Oh, that ship has sailed, man. That ship is gone.
But so I think you might be running into issues with respect to making false statements and obstruction of justice and various things like that. But they would have
prodded out of my phone, you know, at their own behest. I wouldn't have said a damn thing.
Yeah, I guess. But if you created the data with the intention of misleading the authorities, knowing that you were going to hand over your phone, then I think, you know, they'll find a way to shoehorn that into making some kind of false statement to the authorities. But it goes back to this issue of the testimonial aspect of a passcode. And a duress passcode is a correct passcode. You're not making any kind of false statement when you're handing that passcode over. It's a legitimate passcode. It's a credential to the phone. It just happens to wipe the keys that would allow anybody, including yourself or including law enforcement or including your mother-in-law, doesn't matter, to have access to the data that's encrypted on the drive.
I think what everybody should do is basically encrypt their data, put it in a very secure cloud instance somewhere, and then install Graphene OS on your phone, get on your plane, and give them the duress password each and every time. You're not losing anything except maybe your freedom, but they're getting super frustrated, and your data is safe in the cloud somewhere until you get out. So I'm sorry, that's the way we have to think. How do we install Graphene OS, just so people know? I know the address is graphene.org, and that's spelled graphene.org. And they have a really good page there. They have all kinds of explanations as to what it does, what it doesn't do. Rob?
And a couple of important details about Graphene OS. Well, for one thing, it'll only work on Google Pixel phones at present, though there are plans in the works for some devices forthcoming from Motorola.
Wait, you have to have a Google Pixel phone for this to work? I didn't know that.
Yep, it's tuned specifically to the hardware of the Google Pixel phone. The idea here is it's an open source project. It's a free thing. You can it costs nothing. It's also not a commercial entity. It's backed by a nonprofit from Canada, so it's not even an American product in terms of where the organization is. So in terms of keeping access to tools like Graphene OS alive and available, it's not within the jurisdiction of, say, United States Border Patrol or the United States for that matter. It's a thing that exists. And, yeah, graphenos.org. There's interesting stuff on the history page if you want to learn more about the weird path this has taken to the product it is now. But it's just security hardened. It's not just about wiping your phone. It protects your your personal data. It it protects your security. It in ways that stock Android will never do because of ways in which Google likes to monetize you. You can run Google Play apps, but only in a sort of special sandbox that prevents them phoning back home with all that much data. Individual apps can be blocked from your phone's microphone or camera or things like that. And it is just, it offers you so many ways to protect your personal privacy, your digital privacy. And it's a really fascinating thing to look into. If you weren't aware of these things, check it out, grapheneos.org.
All right. And, you know, we're going to have to leave it there, but you can write to us, oth@2600.com. And you can keep listening. At 8 o'clock, we will be on YouTube, channel 2600. Next week, from 7 to 8, we will be on WBAI, taking your phone calls. We'll see you then. Have a good night.
Genau wie du und ich.
Based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
I don't like opera and I don't like ballet. And New Wave French movies, they just drive me away. I guess I'm just dumb, cause I knows I ain't smart. But deep down inside, I got a rock and roll heart. Yeah, 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 deep down inside, I got a rock and roll heart. A rock and roll heart. Looking for a good time. Just a rock and roll heart, roll heart, roll heart. Looking for a good time. Messages or something meant to say, and I wish people like that would just go away. I guess that I'm dumb, cause I know I'm not smart. But deep down inside, I got a rock and roll heart. Yeah, 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 deep down inside, I got a rock and roll heart. Yeah, hey, rock and roll heart. Searching for a good time. Just a rock and roll heart, roll heart, roll heart. Looking for a good time. Yeah, just a rock and roll heart. Looking for a good time. Just a rock and roll heart, roll heart, hey, roll heart. Looking for a good time. We'll be right back.
of the matter. This is a crying shame. But you bark and you bite, and your reasons are true. Still you force and you fight, and your blood keeps rushing. Choose to believe inside, at your roots, save your world from a different light. Don't walk for me, talk to me. And your soul's getting lost in the dead of night. Bring it home, take a walk on the other side. Don't walk for me, talk to me.
Thank you. машина ведет, заставляет меня вспоминать все, что было тогда. Всю ту ложь, что не вспомню, когда мое время придет умирать. И в зеркале вижу все ближе, чем есть. Пустота внутри раскрызает меня, мои демоны снова душат свою месть. Пустота внутри раскрывает меня. Пустота внутри раскрывает меня. Ты враг, ты преследуешь меня. Остается мой крик, отпусти меня. Я смотрю из окна и вижу тебя. Ты идешь ко мне, оставляя следы. И горящий асфальт оставляет тебя. Не дает мне заполнить внутри пустоты. Я смотрю из окна и вижу тебя. Ты идешь ко мне, оставляя следы. И горящий асфальт оставляет тебя. Не дает мне заполнить внутри пустоты.
Thank you. Uit de bundel kersvers. Blinde godinnen. Eva, Johanna, Alma, Minet, Karin, Uni, Laura, Patricia, Hella, Alison, Aline, Linda, Nico, Lisa, Simone, Dorothea, Els, Martin, Lorelei, Ann, Natalia, Sara, Clara, Katrien, Rani, Celeste, Isabel, Leonie, Elodie, Hils, Jo, Sofia, Mirella, Mira, Miranda, Vera. De een komt, de ander gaat. De ware bloed en blaad dat het horen en zien vergaat. Hij merkt het te laat.
I'm in love. And away by the water so blue, the ladies were winding their way. When Pharaoh's little daughter stepped down to the water to bathe in the cool of the day, and before it was dark, she looked in the ark and found sweet infant was there. And before it was dark, she looked in the ark and found sweet infant was there. And away by the water so blue, she carried that beautiful child to his tender mother, sister and brother. Little Moses looked happy and smiled, and she called him her own, her beautiful son, and sent for a nurse that was near. And she called him her own, her beautiful son, and sent for a nurse that was near. The sea that was red, so red, little Moses, the servant of God. Before him subsided, seas were divided, when upward he lifted his rod. And the Jews safely crossed, while Pharaoh's host were drowned in the waters and lost. And the Jews safely crossed, while Pharaoh's host were drowned in the waters and lost. And away on a mountain so high, last one that he ever did see, with Israel victorious, his hopes were most glorious, someday all Jordan be free. When his spirit did cease, he departed in peace and rested in the heavens above. When his spirit did cease, he departed in peace and rested in the heavens above.
Got the bad guys on the run. Don't try to say you're sorry. Don't say he drew his gun. They've gone and grabbed old Ronnie. He's not the only one. I'm saying it's a mistake. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. Tell us, Commander, what do you think? 'Cause we know that you love all that power. Is it on them? Are we on the brink? We should all throw in the towel. We'll not fade out too soon. Not in this finest hour. Whistle your favorite tune. We'll send a card and flower. Saying it's a mistake. It's a mistake. It's a mistake.
Thank you. Thank you.